Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, it's 9 past 12. Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan, News Talk E30 WCCO. We've got a guest right away. It is Representative Lisa Damath. She is calling herself Speaker Designate Lisa Damath because as of right now, the Republicans have a 67-66 advantage. We, last week, on back-to-back days, we talked to Melissa Hortman and Lisa. We knew tomorrow was coming, and the debate, would the Democrats show the debate? What is the number for a quorum? What we didn't know, and Blois Olson, kudos to Blois, he broke the story, which generated a lot of news yesterday, is the House Democrats who still, are they going to show on Tuesday? Are they not going to show? They decided to be sworn in office by our friend Kevin Burke, the retired Hennepin County judge who's going to join us at 1:35. They were sworn into office yesterday. So getting ahead of the game. And Lisa Damath is here, the leader of the Republicans. And she believes the next Speaker of the House to answer a number of questions. And Lisa, like all of our guests, is on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you, Lisa. You called it illegitimate what the Democrats did yesterday. Did they break the law?
Well, good afternoon, Chad. Good to talk with you during these very unexpected times. What I will say, with Democrats hiding behind locked, closed doors to do their own secret swearing-in session last night, what the law says is that we will be sworn in and take the oath of office on the day that we are supposed to be gathering, which in this case is the 14th, so tomorrow at noon. For them to do this, while it has been done in very rare and select circumstances before, a one or a two-off member on occasion, what they have done to swear in and take the oath of office as an entire caucus secretly is absolutely unprecedented, and it should never happen.
Okay. Because they did it, you will do what?
Well, we will be, House Republicans will be, in the House chamber tomorrow at noon as prescribed by law to take the oath of office and get to work for the people of Minnesota. If Democrats want to play political theater and political games, they can. But like you said, we have 67 members, they have 66. And when you read the statute, it says a majority of the members eligible, which is 133. There is a vacant seat. That election does not take place until the end of the month or later. There's a vacant seat. So when you do the math, 67 is a majority of 133, and we will go ahead and take the oath of office. I will become the speaker, and we will get to work for the people of Minnesota.
Okay. Do you believe as of today, those House Democrats who took the oath yesterday are officially members of the Minnesota House for this upcoming session?
One interesting case is they swore in Representative Brad Tabke from Scott County, where we have not even seen the court ruling on that situation. He won by 14 votes. There were 20 ballots that were destroyed. We are expecting that court ruling to come at any point in time. The court could easily rule, just like they did on the Curtis Johnson case out of Roseville, saying that Curtis Johnson in that case was not eligible to take the oath of office. We don't even have that ruling on Mr. Tabke. And so to have done this, including him, was completely wrong.
Okay, I want to get to Tabke, but I just want to follow up on this. Do you believe, because they took the oath from retired judge Kevin Burke yesterday, that the House Democrats are, as of now, officially members of the upcoming House?
I would say that because there has been a precedent where a one-off or two-off has happened before the start of the legislative session, that there is a minor precedent. I'm not an attorney, so I'm not going to give you that full legal opinion on it because I'm not qualified to do that. So I would say potentially, yes, they could be members. We recognize that. But we also know that it says we are to be sworn in at noon on the day of convening, and that is tomorrow at noon. That would be, if we would push further, that would be up to a court to make that determination.
And I'm not a lawyer either, but I did look this up. I've paid attention to other times, too. There have been exceptions, mostly for health reasons, where not the entire body, as you suggested, but individuals have been sworn into office not at noon, the first day of the session. Because of that, doesn't this make these House members, the Democrats who took the oath of office yesterday?
Possibly because of, like I said, that rare precedent that has already been set. So yes, if they show up tomorrow and are ready to get to work, we will work with them. But what we've been told is they did this, and some of our Republican members have heard from some of their Democrat members when they asked about hearings and coming to committee that they have been instructed by their leadership to stay away from the Capitol.
Okay, let's talk about Representative Brad Tabke. The phone's breaking up a little bit, but we still can hear you. We are still waiting for a ruling from the judge. But last week, the day after we chatted here, I apologize, I forget the podcaster's name, but you went on there, and the quotes attributed to you were, even if a judge rules in favor of Brad Tabke, I'm still not going to see him. Are you standing by that?
What we do is when we get that ruling from the judge, when that comes in, we will take that into consideration. But it is up to the membership of the House to determine the eligibility of those seated in the House. That is an opportunity and an option that we have depending on what that ruling actually says. It is up to the membership of the House. Interesting, because in the testimony from Mr. Tabke's own attorneys and the work that they were doing during those court hearings, that their side even said, this isn't up to the courts, it should be left up to the House. And so that's why we are going to look at absolutely every opportunity to make sure there are no votes, no voters that are disenfranchised by having their ballots thrown away.
Yeah, but I mean, couldn't we play this out whether Republicans are in charge or Democrats are in charge? If it's just up to the House to look at judicial decisions and disregard them, is that really where we want to go? Obviously, you would like to win that. You would like to have another election where the Republican could potentially win. But if the judge rules that Brad Tabke won that race, shouldn't he be the representative for that district?
It will be up to the House, and we will decide which direction we want to go on that. That is within our authority to make that determination. That is not a guarantee that will happen, but it is definitely a strong point, making sure that every vote is counted and there are zero that are disenfranchised. That is something we will definitely be looking at.
This is Lisa Damath. She's with us. It's 17 past 12. We're talking about all the drama tied to what's taking place in the Minnesota House. She is a Republican. She believes she is the speaker designate. They are expected to start tomorrow. Right now, they have the advantage, 67-66. On the quorum part, you obviously are aware of what the Secretary of State, Steve Simon, has said. Steve Simon is a Democrat. Do you believe he is judging this solely by his position, or do you think any political bias is involved in what he's offered up so far?
To his intention on this, what motivates him to make these determinations, but he is not a member of the House of Representatives. He is part of the executive branch. So last week when I talked with him, and I had another meeting with him this morning, said last week that if we would raise a point of order or a point of parliamentary inquiry on anything, that he was not going to be recognizing us in the House chamber. So to have a member of the executive branch in a ceremonial role exercise any type of partisanship is absolutely beyond the pale. And my expectation is that he wouldn't do that. He needs to recognize the membership of the House of Representatives and allow us to do our work. I would hope he would not stay in the way or stand in the way of that.
Okay, so you're talking partisan here at the end. You're a little more neutral to start. Are you saying that because he's a Democrat, part of the basis of his decision is because he is playing favorites towards the party he belongs to?
Possibly, but I can't speak for his motives, but why would a part of the executive branch shut down the voice of the legislative chamber?
Well, he believes it's within his power, right? He believes the...
He also can't make motions and determine when we're going to come back or prevent us from organizing. That is not in his purview. We will watch and see how he actually conducts the ceremonial portion of his role tomorrow.
Okay, let's talk the 67-66. This was part of the conversation I had with Melissa Hortman, and I will admit, I listened to the two of you, at least part of it, when you were on NPR this morning today. Melissa Hortman, who also would like to be co-speaker at minimum, she is saying that until the other election takes place, and this is the election where Curtis Johnson, the Democrat, lied. He wasn't living in the district. He shouldn't have been eligible. And so he's out. And so we're going to have an election, by the way, an election which has favored Democrats for a long time. But we don't know what could happen in the potential rematch. That she is saying for the 2-3 weeks where you have the one vote margin, that you are the majority, that you should do what you want to do. And if you're the speaker, that's fine. But that once it's 67-67, you should go back to the sharing agreement. And she is saying, you are suggesting no. When it's 67-66 at the start, I am now the speaker for the next 2 years, no matter what happens with that remaining seat. Clarify that for me.
There are options that we potentially would look at going back into a power sharing if it does return to 67-67, there are portions of that that we would consider. But to make a sweeping statement that we would refuse to work with them and that we would get rid of their staff and all of those things, that is not accurate. Those discussions have not taken place. But to assume that they can stay away and prevent a quorum because of a concern that I would become the speaker, they know that it would take more than 67 votes to make any changes, and they know that I would be speaker for 2 years. That is why I believe that they are taking the action to prevent that happening. There's no reason why we couldn't look at some type of agreement going forward should it return to 67-67. But what the Democrats, they're swearing in the dark of night, basically, in closed doors in secret. What that demonstrates to us, and then when they go ahead and say that they are not even going to show up to work, really brings into question whether or not they were going to fulfill any type of power sharing through the next 2 years if they didn't like the way things were going.
Okay.
They've had complete control for 2 years, and I think they are a little bit overwhelmed with the power they've had, and they need to realize that they have lost that. Some broke the law. They are at 66. We're at 67, and they need to work within the reality of that.
Okay. I agree with that, that as long as you have the lead by one, you're the majority. You should be the speaker. I think the Democrats should show up. I don't think they should have been sworn in yesterday. I think they should be sworn in like everybody else. But here's my point, Lisa. If it does get to 67-67, to me, you should just go back to the sharing agreement you had. So if it's 3 weeks of your power, you guys get to pass as much as you can and see where it goes with the Senate, with their sharing agreement, and also obviously with the governor, Democrat. But I think you're losing people when you say, well, we'll see what we're going to do if it goes back to 67-67. How can you make the argument you should be the speaker for the remaining 2 years if it's now an even house?
Those are discussions that we will have going forward. You know, you watched our Senate colleagues be able to come up with a power-sharing agreement because no side said they weren't even going to show up. In this case, we need to move forward under 67-66, and Democrats aren't even going to show up. All of those discussions can go forward. They can go forward today. They can go forward tomorrow. But to come in and say we will hold the legislature hostage by not providing a quorum because we don't like the reality is not the way to govern in the state of Minnesota. But that is exactly what we're seeing from Democrats right now.
Last thing, and I'll let you go, and I really appreciate it because I know you're busy. Do you have a scheduled meeting with Melissa Hortman at some point today?
Meeting later today. My expectation is that I believe she will be there, but going from what we've seen from Democrats not showing up, I don't know that for sure, but House Republicans show up, and I will be there later this afternoon to meet with her.
Thank you for answering my questions. We'll pay close attention. We'll reach out soon. Thanks again. This is Lisa Damoth. It's a weird phone line where once you talk for a second, it was fine, but it crackled. The thrust of the conversation you could get. I want to react, but I want you to react. What do you think of what Lisa Damoth had to say? Melissa Hortman was on with Vanita today. Both of them were on with Blois yesterday before Blois broke the news about our guy Kevin Burke swearing him in at the Minnesota History Center. What did you think of what Damoth had to say? What did you think of what Hortman said with Vanita? What are you liking what you hear? And what is bugging you about what you're hearing? We like the drama, man. Give it us material. We'll get to plenty of other things, but it's head-shaking to me on both sides and parts of it. I think he was pretty clear from that conversation, my points, but I want to hear from you and I want to hear from Dave, and I'll expand also. You can reach out right now. I mean, you could come down. You can knock on the door. Probably not coming down.
No, we got locks.
We got locks, you know. Be easier for you to call and text your team Damoth, your team Hortman. You're mad at both. You think this is going to happen. What do you want to say? 651-461-9226.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I've got a secret.
We've got secret music today.
Secret music?
Yes. I mean, the music itself isn't secret.
Yeah.
But the theme is secrets.
It's just because of what the House Democrats did
you
yesterday?
Bet it is.
Got a secret.
They've got secrets.
Yeah.
We've all got secrets.
Yes. Shh. Are you a good secret keeper?
Pretty solid.
I think I'm pretty good. Who do we think in this building does?
Susie.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want something to go to everyone in the building, tell Susie.
You could put a stopwatch on it. You will rarely get to 30 seconds.
My father. Awful. awful secret keeper.
Really? Blabbermouth?
Yeah, Blabbermouth. Former boss of this place, Mick Anselmo. Look. And he's, it's just between us.
And, I, then and I'd wait. Everyone else I see today.
I'd wait. I'd go, okay, who else knows this? Me, baby. Okay, what's your major takeaway here before we take calls and texts?
I mean, obviously what happened yesterday with the DFL and secret ceremony, it feels slimy.
It does.
It feels so slimy. It's, you know, cloak and dagger, as, you know, Lisa said, under the cover of darkness. Well, it sounded like it was more mid-afternoon, but same thing.
Yeah, right.
Same thing. It, yeah, that doesn't feel good. And it also doesn't feel good to say or to not commit to, if it gets to 67-67, we'll go back to power sharing.
Right. It also doesn't, can I keep going to? It also doesn't feel good when you're seating Tapke and we're waiting for a judge to render a decision, just like it doesn't feel good when you're saying, well,
yes,
if the judge rules for him, I will have to decide. That's very,
yes,
that's very Trumpian right there.
Neither party is clean. Neither leader is clean on this one. You can argue who's the cleaner, but they both got some mud on them.
They do. And also another thing, show up tomorrow.
Yes.
Show up 100% every time. And I get it. Hortman's right. I forget the Democrat in Wisconsin. This is after I was here maybe a year or two when they were hiding, and we interviewed a lot. And first it was kind of a friendly, then it was more contentious because I'm like, show up. You can't just, God knows, we all use whatever levers we have in certain circumstances, professional, personal. You know what one shouldn't be? I'm not going to show up. Even though others have used it. Show up. To me, it's just not that complicated. 67-66 right now. Lisa Damoth and her OK phone, she's the speaker. As soon or if we get to 67-67, then you go back to that sharing agreement, 100% what you agree with. It's not, oh, I was elected.
I know.
And even though it's even, I'm still staying speaker.
They really have to iron that out today. Let's go. What's your confidence level they will?
By tomorrow?
Yes. You know, she said she hopes to meet with Melissa Hortman today.
Yeah. 0 to 10?
Sure.
0.2. Because I think they're,
it's
both
not a strong number.
I think they're both going to play their leverage. And I think it should be what we should be brought in. We just solved it.
We're great mediators.
We're great. Who name a better mediator than Harrigan Hartman?
I can't. I'd like to try. Clearly, the folks with the Glenn Taylor, A-Rod, Lori situation,
yeah,
aren't better.
Yeah. Kathleen, I haven't talked to you in a long time. This is not my Kathleen, but Kathleen Blatz, who I know, I haven't seen her in a long time, former chief judge. Kathleen, I would have resolved this by happy hour.
Yes. You got to get to happy hour.
Yeah, because I need to go to happy hour. Okay, and hang on, a lot of text. We got to stay with it, right? It's too delicious. We got a lot of other topics to get to. We got overrated, underrated. We got a Vikings game. Put it in ink. I am guaranteeing a Vikings victory tonight. Ink everything, guaranteed. The Minnesota Vikings will prevail tonight against the Los Angeles Rams of Glendale. 651-461-9226 on the House political mess. Who's bugging you most? Who do you like? What do you think of our resolution? Because it doesn't seem that difficult. What do you want to say? Call or text 651-461-9226. Very good. All right, let's go to Ann, who's patiently waited. Ann, thank you much for listening. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to comment about the Democrats, you know, not wanting to show up, and that people elected them to work. And if they don't show up to their job, they should be docked their salary for the period of time that they're out, and also their per diem. You know, they're abusing their power, they're playing victim, and they're acting privileged. You know, I mean, if I did that in my job, just think what would happen. You know, I mean, I think they like
fired.
Being victims. Yeah, I mean, they act like somebody's doing something to them, and they have to retaliate somehow. I mean, they act like little children, and I think they were elected to work, and they better show up.
Thank you, Ann. I don't disagree with the damn thing. And I'm not saying, I've made it clear, there are parts of what Lisa Damoth and the Republicans are saying, which is ridiculous, but not showing up. Now, the political wonks are going to say quorum is a part of the strategy. Show up to work. I just go back to that. And money per diem, all that should be held back if they're not showing up. Chris, thanks for listening. You're on WCCO.
Hey, Chad. I was listening to the conversation. You know, they said that the Democrats swearing in yesterday will be okay by that technicality that it's been done before. So they're saying, okay, we can use the technicalities of the law to swear ourselves in. Mm-hmm. So when it all comes back and it goes back to 67-67, you still have to have a majority vote to agree to have the vote to have another speaker or a
co-speaker
but the point is that's where they're not going to get a majority, so they know they technically the Republicans technically if it's 67-67 there will be no new vote for a new speaker. That's why she can be the speaker for 2 years. So if you're playing the technicality game,
yeah,
they started it. They just started it yesterday.
Yeah, it's probably been going on for a while, but you're right. Everybody's looking for all aspects, and you're raising a very good point. So, again, I'm clear here. I've been clear ever since this thing came up 10 days ago. Show up. Accept that you're in the minority for as long as you are. But for you, Chris, do you believe if it gets to 67-67, and most likely it's going to, not guaranteed, so we got to wait, do you think they then should be co-speakers?
No. So here's what I would say. They have a vote. If they can't get 67 people, including one Republican, to say, yep, we'll have the revote, that's how the cookies crumble. And that's what they did to the Republicans the whole last 2 years.
Yeah,
they didn't let them play at all.
Well, yeah, and I didn't agree with that. I made that clear, that Walls and they went much further than I would have ever. And I think it's come back to hurt them. But they at least had the votes then. I didn't agree with the results, but they had the votes. So you're saying even though it's 67-67 after 3 weeks, let me just finish. I'm just saying logically, you're right. I get what you're saying on the vote. But now I'm saying to you, Chris, a smart person, logically, should Damoth be the speaker if it's a tie vote?
I think you have to have a speaker. So, yeah, I think it is. And again, it comes down to the vote. The tie vote wins them keeping the status quo, right? That's how the world works.
Yeah, but the world also evolves every day. And sometimes the numbers and the facts are different.
That's true. And I would say, and again, Republicans may have done the same. I haven't seen it since I've been here for 28 years. But the way they treated them as non-entities for the last 2 years, what do they expect?
I think that's a very valid point. Thank you, Chris.
All right, take care.
Let's get to a lot of texts. Get off your high horse. I always like when that comes in. First of all, how high does a horse have to be a high horse?
I think once you hit about 7 feet in the air, that's
seven
a pretty
feet.
High horse.
I mean, can a pony be a high horse?
No.
Like, you can't have a pony. Like, all of a sudden you have a kid that's like 9 pounds. That's a big baby. Can you say, whoa, that's a tall pony?
You can say it's a tall pony.
But it's not a high horse.
A high pony is still probably a medium-sized horse.
Okay. My high horse, by the way, I'm paid to give my opinion. And by the way, I'm criticizing both sides here. Right? So I always love that. Get off your high horse. If I stop giving my opinion, this guy will walk by here, Brad Lane. He's going to shake my hand and say, it's been a good run. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
Might not use the word good.
Yeah, I might say mediocre.
Okay.
Might be okay. Let me get back to it. Get off your high horse. You know damn well the Republicans would do the same thing. Also, per diem isn't collected if they don't show up. Yeah, good on per diem. And where am I saying the Republicans are like, wow, they're virtuous and they're angelic? We're making fun of both sides. It's just this texter doesn't like the Republicans. So if you disagree with this person, it's get off your high horse.
Yeah. If I think we both fully expect, if the shoe were on the other foot, if the entire situation was reversed, we'd be having the same argument, just with different parties.
Yeah. Who, I don't want to get past the horse situation here. Who on the staff most likely to look good in the horse? I know most likely to be in a horse is Vanita.
Yeah.
Because I don't think she has a house. She's out. She's doing something 24/7. But looking good, has the gait, has the clothing and everything.
Well, Mark Fry, being Mr. Iowa, he's probably been on a horse several times.
Do you think of Iowa and horses a lot?
Well, I mean, I think more of, you know, corn country, pork country, but
yeah.
I have a feeling you get on a horse once in a while in Iowa. He's a tall guy, too. Nice and easy to get
he's
up
tall.
On a horse.
He's tall, Fry.
I think that helps.
Drusha would get clothes for it. And
here's the thing.
He would have 17 Instagrams on
yes.
it. And he would make a lot of money on it.
He'd bring the horse to a nice dinner.
Carter would maybe want to shoot the horse, you know. God knows South St. Paul.
David Josephson wouldn't consider the horse part of your family.
No, David would be like, you know, if we weren't here, we would have solved rubella at this point.
Jordana, not a chance.
No chance does Jordana go on. I'm saying Pete Najarian off the board.
That's a very good pick. That's a strong pick.
Yeah. More checks. Sorry for my ignorance. Do we have any independents in the House? No. No. And again, go ahead. Come at me, bro. As the person who's been saying this for decades, I want a third. I was very amused, by the way, at Greg DeRusha, who makes fun of me all the time on the third party, the fourth party, the fifth party. What's his big tweet that generated the reaction? Who wants a third party? Who wants a fourth party? Who wants a fifth party? Just take my material, DeRusha, but give me credit.
I think it was tongue-in-cheek. I think he was mocking you the whole time.
Could be, and I missed it. Yes, more of your text, 651-461-9226. Yes, Damon should be speaking for the rest of the term because those are the rules, and he'd be stated repeatedly, as you've done, that the situation was created because the Democrats allowed someone to run illegally in Shoreview who didn't live in the district. Those are consequences for elections. That's fair. And by the way, as the texter knows, I have said this repeatedly. And DeRusha has dismissed my opinion. Eventually, he's going to come around. He does. You know, it takes a while.
Probably tweeting about it right now.
Right now. The Democrats, because of Curtis Johnson, in my personal opinion, should not be allowed to have a Democrat run in that race. And by the way, if it was Republican, the same damn thing. Tapke took some chutzpah for Tapke to be there, and if Hortman is trying to stay true to how we've done this before, I don't agree with Damus saying, well, I might seat Tapke, I might not. If Hortman wants to look, I think, more ethically pure on this one, they wouldn't have had Tapke take the oath, right? But the reason why they did it, well, they might have done it anyway. I don't want to give them this much credit because they might have done it anyway. But when they hear Damus saying, I don't know if we're going to seat her, they feel like if Tapke takes the oath, then he's in. And she basically admitted they're now in the House because there is a precedent.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, I personally have no problem with them swearing in Tapke.
You're fine with it?
Yeah, I'm fine with it for the exact reason you said of, all right, well, then he's in if the judge says he's in.
Here's the sexist who's showing up. If the GOP and DFL leaders were men, they've worked out a deal. Yeah, that works out really well in D.C., doesn't it? Worked out really well with Mark Dayton and Kurt Dowd a lot, or Tim Walz and Kurt Dowd. They were the best of pals. They worked things out all the time.
Always.
They?
Always.
Always. Never was a problem. There are 134 seats in the House. You need 68 to have the majority. Not one. Hasn't been seated yet. I'm pretty good at math in when it stays to adding and subtracting. Multiplying, division, I'm okay. When it gets to trig and geometry and that stuff, I fall. I can determine that 67 is more than 66.
Very good.
And that's 133, and that's a majority. How did the Democrats get a judge to agree to swear them in early? I will be asking that to my longtime friend and frequent guest, Kevin Burke. Because, Kevin, we text. I really didn't want to talk to Kevin a lot about it. I wanted it to be more organic here. Kevin would say, well, it wasn't political for me. I've done other things similar, and I'm going to ask what else was similar. Because this is a pretty rare. More. LOL, 11 the R's complain about technicalities, then use technicalities. Sorry, I have to head into a meeting. That might have been the person who was on hold before and hung up. I've long ago given up on both political parties. Neither can be trusted. The current fiasco shows that even more, we need a new system. A third party that cares more about doing what is right instead of the pandering. Thank you. Thank you. I want multiple more. I really do. I want where a lot of this country is represented, the center. And I am slightly more center-right fiscally and slightly more center-life socially. I personally think about 40 to 50% of the country is right in that area. But by the way, if we want to have more and they're further to the right and left, fine. Maybe that would force the traditional Republicans and Democrats move towards the center. It's a monopoly, and it's not working as effectively as it should. If Lisa D is elected speaker, she's speaker for 2 years. That's how it always goes. Power can't be shared equally elsewhere, and it still takes 68 votes. But they agreed before this situation that they were going to share power. So they have an agreement. That
they did. Obviously, facts have changed dramatically.
Yeah. A lot of people, and I appreciate the kindness on my asking questions, a lot of people not pleased with Damoth. I could only ask him. And I followed up a number of times. Was she good on some? Directly answering, yes. Did she dodge, bob, and weave on others? Yeah, she did. And I wish she would have been more direct, but I'm not going to chase her down. I think sometimes if you ask repeatedly or if it's pretty clear when you ask the question and they're not responding, if you've already asked multiple times follow up, it's pretty clear they've made a public political calculus why they're not answering.
Yes, and you and I and anyone listening can hear it, and they know right. Exactly why the question hasn't been answered.
And if you listen to this show, you know I'm not afraid to ask questions. You know I'm not afraid to ask follow-ups. But sometime if you ask follow-up and follow-up, when again they're not answering, whether you believe that was Lisa or the others, then I think it's pretty evident. It's 51 past 12 on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, we're going to spend plenty of time when Chip joins talking about the Vikings. But I want some text here real quick before we're done. 0 to 10, how confident are you that the Vikings will defeat the now Glendale Rams? Today, only the Glendale Rams. Although we have no idea. You know, the Rams obviously had access to those tickets first. It is Snowbird Central down in, not as much Glendale, but more Scottsdale, Tempe, and Mesa. Glendale, get out of here. Team Tempe, how confident are you that the Vikings will win tonight, 0 to 10? I, the host of the show, I've guaranteed it. So I'm a 10-plus.
10-plus?
Yeah. They're the better team.
You've broken the scale.
And we're acting like Sam Darnold off last week when he was lousy, when he was overwhelmed, when the game was too big for him, has been like that all along. The week before, he threw for 377 yards, and they greeted him like he was Lindbergh coming back in the locker room. That was for Carter, if you're listening. Mm-hmm. Lindbergh. They're going to win. I don't think it's going to be a blowout the whole time. They're better. They're more skilled. There's a lot to get to. Stafford hasn't been sacked in four games. That's a bit problematic. They didn't sack Stafford once. That cannot happen tonight. 0 to 10, text me right now, and then Dave Harrigan's about to answer. How confident are you that the Vikings are going to win tonight? 651-461-9226. We may be tomorrow if they lose. First of all deny it. AI didn't say it. And then we'll say, how do we evaluate the season? But we'll get there. We won't get there because they're going to win. Dave Harrigan, 0 to 10. How confident are you? I'm the cynic. Yeah. I'm not the homer in any way at all. So save the Viking fan nonsense for, you know, elsewhere. I'm a 10. You are a?
4.
So you think they're going to lose then?
If you'd asked me the other way, how confident am I that the Rams would beat the Vikings?
It has to be 6, right?
I'd say 4. They don't have to add up to 10.
What are you, Cook?
Here's Cook. Honestly, I really do think it's pretty much a toss-up. And my question to you is, how can you be so convinced that the Vikings are the better team when, the one time they faced each other this year, the Rams won handily?
They did.
That's a bit of a pickle.
Yeah. I like pickles. If you could have one pickle, what would you have?
Pickles are disgusting.
What kind of human doesn't like pickles?
Me?
Go outside.
One with taste?
Go outside for an hour.
Here's the thing.
Give me the chili.
Cucumbers
first.
By themselves, not that good. When you make them taste even more disgusting, get out of here.
Are you
right?
With ISIS?
Yes, I am.
Or some way, who doesn't like pickles?
Me. Hand up.
God. First of all, cucumbers are fine, but pickles are superior. They've evolved to even a better species. That's what I like to say. Because they've played in a better division. They have better players. They have better skill set. And they're not that far apart. We're going to 58-50.
Okay. You just keep talking.
I'm going to. Because you're wrong. First, the pickle thing is just throwing me off. 8 out of 10.
Ooh.
As long as Roman Gabriel and Jack Snow aren't playing. Even if they don't win tonight, aren't you just setting yourself up for heartbreak when they play the Eagles? I wasn't overwhelmed and dazzled by the Eagles yesterday in any way. Jordan Love may be the most overrated athlete on planet Earth. He is a bottom third quarterback right now. I take Sam Darnold every time over Jordan Love.
Not to mention what the Eagles get 22 at home against the Packers defense, which we've seen is not exactly spectacular.
Vikings 28, Rams 24. 50% chance. I mean, get out of here with the 50% chance. Just don't text if that's it. Overrated next hour.